God's grace and peace be with you. Well, I find myself wrestling with these texts. See what I did there? You remember the first lesson, right? Jacob wrestling with the Habakkuk, the widow wrestling with the judge for justice. I have to tell you, beloved, I can relate. I find Jesus' parable confusing. I have to tell you, I don't know if I find it confusing or dissonant. Because, beloved, I got to tell you, I feel like we've been waiting a long time for God's justice in this earth. I feel like we have been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, and we are still longing for a way of life that is more whole than what we see across the globe today. And I wonder what Jesus... Okay, I'm hearing that the back. I'm going to see, I think this one is popping in and out a little bit. So bear with me. But I wonder, is this better? Is this doing better now? Okay, maybe I just didn't have it all set. But we'll get... Pardon? Yeah. Any rate, you know, I struggle with this idea that God will grant justice quickly when we pray. And frankly, it's really easy to take that promise and apply it to everything I pray for. I tend to think that if God loves me, God will answer at least in a way that I can recognize, even if it's not all I want, but God will answer me. Eyes and understand. We're going to see. Oh, there we go. Okay. Sorry for the interruption. Technology is awesome until it isn't. So anyway, we have this question of what this means that we are continually praying for peace, praying for hope, praying for restoration, praying for an end to war, and it feels like we wait so long. So there are times when Jesus' parable about the widow, which is meant to encourage us, causes me a little bit of extra struggle. And I don't have a resolution for that. Except it helps me to go back to this Genesis lesson with Jacob. Jacob at the Jabbok. Now, Jacob is on his way to see his brother Esau, who's angry with him because Jacob has sort of swindled his brother out of the inheritance. And they haven't gotten along so well ever since. Funny how that happens. There is a great deal of tension. Jacob is on his way to try to reestablish a relationship with his brother, but he's not sure how it's going to go. And it's such an odd story because he's just traveling on his way, and they make camp, and then there's this weird line, and a man came and wrestled with him. What? What? Well, that's a hint, right? That this is an intervention of God. And we find out later that this is an angel of the Lord, right? But this image of wrestling all night long. Have you ever wondered what was going through Jacob's head? Like, did Jacob wrestle with the man or did the man wrestle with Jacob? I mean, does it make any difference? Who started this? How did it even happen? Can you imagine the question cycling through Jacob's head as he is straining and striving and trying all night long? Anybody in here ever wrestled? How long do you last in a wrestling match? It's hard. Minutes. And Jacob is wrestling all night in his head. He must have thought he would be there forever with never a resolution. Think about the exhaustion. Think about the sweat slicking his body. Think about the searing ache in his muscles as he continues to probably what felt like fight for his life when he doesn't even know why. He doesn't even know who this person is or why. and all night long he strives. This is what it's like wrestling with God. And I don't know how many of you can identify with that reality of wrestling with God, but I feel like I can relate in some measure to this idea of feeling like I am striving with God to understand, to do what I'm supposed to do, to get clarity, to get encouragement, to keep going. Whatever it is in life, this wrestling with God, evidently, is one of the other marks of discipleship. It is another mark of being the people of God. Because if you know your Old Testament stories, you know that this is the point at which Jacob's name is changed to Israel. Jacob becomes Israel, which means God contends. God contends. Now, beloved, I like to think that since we are the church, we're not the ones that God is having to wrestle with. But you know what? It seems like we are. It seems like part of the identity of being the church is wrestling with God. I kind of hoped it would be more comfortable most of the time. But quite often I find that the church, not just individuals, not just me and my family, journey, but the entire people of God is engaged in a wrestling match with God. This tension and this striving, this trying to understand, this trying to figure out where to go next, trying to figure out how to move forward and feeling like we're held back by forces we don't even understand. This wrestling to be the people of God. I can relate to that too, not just as an individual, but as a people. Because we all struggle with that, don't we? And you'll notice, beloved, that this has been part of the life of the people of God forever, from the very beginning. We're always wrestling with God. The church has been wrestling with God, or God has been wrestling with the church, through all of our history. I mean, think about it. Look at the Crusades and the Reformation and all the schisms in the church and all of the ways that the church has grown and then failed and then done God's work and then failed to do God's work. And we're constantly in this tension of where are we going next as the people of God? We are wrestling with God all the time. And there's a reason for that. It's because we live between two worlds. Again, in the Gospel of Luke, we are constantly confronted with what happens when the reign of God breaks into this world. Because this world and the ways that this world work is always in tension with the reign of God. Always. It has been for all of its history. There is something about the human psyche that just gets it wrong. And we fail in understanding how to love one another and how to take care of one another and how not to become tribal in our attitudes about our neighbors. We constantly struggle, and the reign of God is constantly breaking in and challenging us to live under God's wisdom, God's reign, and God's rule, not human wisdom. And so we're constantly caught in this tension, and God is constantly coming and catching hold of us and wrestling with us to get us back on the right path. God is constantly wrestling with us to get us back on the right path. And it's hard. It doesn't always feel good. But see, here's the thing about Jacob's wrestling with God, with the angel of God. Here's the thing about this story of the very founder of our faith tradition, the Judeo-Christian tradition. This story about the very beginnings of Israel teaches us that the ones that God loves, God wrestles with to keep us on the right path. It's not that I want to have a real shame-based attitude about human beings, but beloved, there is just something in us that's always getting it wrong, isn't there? I'll bet if I asked any of you sitting in the pew, every one of you, when you're being gut honest, would say, I wish I were better than I am. There's just something in us that fights against God's goodness. And God won't let go of us, but wrestles with us, each individually wrestles with us in our baptism to immerse us into the waters of mercy and raise us up new, and wrestles with us as a people, as a body, as a church, to continue to carry God's reign of justice as our primary goal, God's declaration of grace and mercy and resurrected life as our primary vision and hope, to carry that message and to live that message and to speak that message. And we get distracted and worried and caught up by other things, and God wrestles to bring us back. Martin Luther talks about this story with some language that I just love. Because I don't know about you, but I was never really big into sports, and I don't consider myself physically that strong, and I get kind of tired kind of easy. And this wrestling with God, it wears me out sometimes. But see, here's the thing. Martin Luther says, just when you think that you are fighting with God the hardest, just when you think you are struggling the most with your faith in God, when you are struggling the most with the God who claims you, that is when you need to understand that is precisely the moment when God has you clasped most tightly to God's breast. God wrestles with the ones that God loves. When we pray, we are like the widow who keeps coming back. But there is a difference between our story with God and the parable that Jesus tells, which is another kind of wrestling, isn't it? It's another kind of striving and contention, this praying for justice, in that the widow is going to one who is not just. The widow is going to one who is not God. But we come to a God who loves us and who holds us tight in our prayers and our longings and our hopes. And what we have is this promise that even when it feels like it's going on forever and we will never survive, God hears us. And God promises us that we will have life. We don't prevail in this particular struggle. But Jesus does. He overcomes everything that tears us down and destroys us. He overcomes everything that breaks us and kills us. He gives us life. And so God contends and God prevails. And we keep praying. And that's what Jesus is asking for from us today. Not that we win, but that we trust the God who keeps wrestling with us, and we keep praying. We keep entering into that struggle. We keep entering into that conversation. We keep entering into that wrestling, that we show up. Even though sometimes it's hard and it doesn't feel great, we show up. We engage in the struggle, and we know that the God who wrestles with us is just setting us on the right path again. Thanks be to God.